Right, we're doing something different here. We're doing a crossover episode that combines all of our football shows, and we're going to break down some important things. What are we not talking enough about with the Super Bowl? Where is there a vulnerability? Trust me, you want to study that word because it is going to matter in this game. And how do you actually attack each of these coaches from a schematic standpoint? We're going to break it down, and it all starts right now. We are coming at you live at the Toyota Land Cruiser set at Super Bowl 59 for the first ever massive, oh my God, can't miss, don't go anywhere, crossover event of Yahoo Sports football shows. Right. I'm just saying, we have brought three shows. This, we are like the Voltron of football shows. That's an 80s cartoon reference, right?
Yeah. I'm more of a Power Rangers.
Yeah, that's where I'm going with, too. That's where my head goes.
Wait. Power Rangers?
Yeah, because they can all join together.
The Megazord.
Why would they be called the Mighty Morphin?
Okay, I do. Look, I'm,
thank you.
Look, I'm a little older than y'all, so like,
I know Voltron.
We know Voltron. Like, nobody liked Voltron. Like, Transformers better than Voltron.
Yeah,
but
we
still,
know, like my kids, they know what a Super Nintendo is.
Yeah.
They got PS5.
Yes.
It's a big difference.
Nah, I mean, it's, you know, good to be your kids.
Yeah, I don't know. Nintendo Switch, though, is pretty sweet, too. Yeah, so if you want to keep a Nintendo, you go with that. Yeah.
You know how long it took me to save up for the original Nintendo when I was a kid? I haven't even told you what the hell we're doing here,
by the way.
Gerald McCoy, Nate Tice, I'm Jason Fitz. And behind us, you see the logos of our respective shows. Football 301, McCoy and Van Noy, and Inside Coverage. And what we thought we'd do live at the Super Bowl is to come together and bring a little of all of our shows, all of our flavor. It's a way for each of you that listen to us on different platforms to listen to us together. We hope it leads to you checking out more of what we do all over the place.
Absolutely.
Well, we're just going to hang out, three buddies, and I'll start just straight out. Since we've never worked together, we're just teammates and friends. I respect both of y'all so much. This is going to be fun. The insight that we can offer here, I want to do something different. Everybody's talking about the Super Bowl. Everybody's talking about the legacy stuff, and we'll do all that stuff because that's our jobs. But let's start from just a basic player standpoint. Both of you guys have played so much. Like, what's the thing? Well, a little bit. I'm giving you college.
I know. I appreciate it.
I'm giving you college.
Play is a loose term, but I was around it.
What's the thing that we should be talking about, Gerald? Like, what's the thing coming up to this game that you're sitting there saying, man, the world is so busy worried about this that they're not even thinking about that? Mm. I hit him with
Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, Jalen Carter, Chris Jones, Travis Kelce, and Zach Bond, Nick Sirianni, Andy Reid. Matchups.
Yeah.
We've been talking about the matchups in the game. Jalen Hurts just got engaged. Okay. Patrick Mahomes is married. Saquon just got engaged. I don't know if Chris Jones is in a relationship.
Travis Kelce getting proposed.
Travis Kelce. We don't know if he's going to propose, but he has a very popular girlfriend.
Right.
Point I'm being at, I'm getting to. We talk so much about the game.
Yeah.
Being in the game, I've never played in a Super Bowl.
Right.
I played in a national championship. But I've been to a big football event where you've had to manage family. You've had to manage the people around the game. You've had to manage your own mental state. The Pro Bowl, which used to be in Hawaii, who don't want to go to Hawaii?
Right.
So who am I telling no? Who am I telling I can't get you tickets? Who am I telling, well, they won't let us do this? And I got these people coming and, your Uncle Rufus, he said that I'll let you talk. These are all the things that they're having to manage as coaches and players that nobody's bringing up.
Right.
What about the mental state? We talk about experience of the game. There's no substitution for experience. That's why I believe Kansas City will win. But you can't coach speed. All of that's cool. All the physical gifts and the speed and the strength that the Philadelphia Eagles possess does not matter if this is not strong. Nobody's talking about the mental fortitude or what it will take to be able to maximize all of these things that are going to happen on game day. There's a lot of BS that's to the lead up for the week. They get all new gear, so they got to take new photos in the same uniform they've been wearing all year, but because it has a new patch, now it's all of a sudden a new uniform.
Yep.
We got new travel Super Bowl warm-ups. We got to sit and do media day.
Yeah.
On top of all that, I got to worry about, okay, I got curfew, but at the same token, my wife is calling because the kids still got sick, or her sister is trying to come to the game and she wants to bring her friend and all. You still got to deal with all that and then go win a game.
Yep.
That's what people are not talking about leading up to this game.
Justin Reed, I think, said he had like 70-something tickets he's trying to get. And he goes, and someone's like, how much does that cost? He goes, well, if we win, I break even.
You see what I'm saying?
You know, but
that's
like
that's wild.
But that's what you're thinking too. And when all the prep that goes in, as you know, it's like it's a long process, and they got a bye week. Mm-hmm. And so, like on top of that, I'm sure some coaches want to like overload it. They're so excited to talk about the game plan they're already putting in. So even like the coaching side too, it's like they want to spread that out, and make sure it sticks, but not overwhelm. We have time to install this stuff, install this specific game plan.
You don't
want to
overcoach,
and you don't want to overcoach. And so that's you brought it up though. That is something that the Chiefs do have. We always talk about big game experience. It's not just the game. It's the process leading up to the game. Like, the underrated part about coaching and stuff like that is, you know, you see the head coaches, how organized they have to be in scheduling. All right, if you're – Sirianni is not, maybe not the best example. If you're a first-time coach in the Super Bowl, it's like, oh, how do I schedule this? What's the travel like?
Yeah.
What day do we leave? Like, if you're an assistant for the first time going through that, Chiefs, it's like, oh – all right, Matt Nagy's still there. Steve Spagnuolo's still there. Same offensive lineman.
Been here,
done that. So they know the flow of it. And it's not just the game, but like you're saying, it's that 2 weeks leading up to it. Because it is. Yeah. It's a circus. It's a Super Bowl.
I think flow also comes into adrenaline for me. And, like, listening to y'all talk. Like, I remember, look, I don't know anything about playing in a Super Bowl, but I'll go back to my music life, right? Like, I remember when we played Madison Square Garden. It was the first time we'd ever played the Garden.
MSG.
It was sold out. You know, and I used to go to the Garden when I was a kid, like, with no money. I'd wait till after tip-off, and I would go up, and I'd be like, I got $3 in lunch money. Can I get in? That's how I used to go. So, like, for me, it was the most excited I'd ever been because I've been to that arena so many times. Right. Worst show I ever played in my life. Because, like, if we're being honest, I played music since I was 4 years old. No. I never got control of my adrenaline. I tried every song. I remember thinking in my head, this song's going to be different. I'm going to start this set over right now. And from here forward, I'm going to have a perfect show. And then, man, I screw something up in the beginning of the song. It's like, it's done. And the next song, you're like, no, I'm going to start it over right now.
Yeah.
And then, so, like, I think all of this, like, routine and adrenaline, all of these things come back to, like, athletes are creatures of these things.
Yes.
Like,
yes,
during the course of the year, like you want everything to feel. And everybody says, well, you get one hit in, and once you get that first hit, it feels normal. Does it? Like, is everybody the same for that? You work your whole life to get to a Super Bowl. And, like, Josh Jacobs today, I interviewed him, and he said, like, it really tripped him out being in the playoffs and realizing, man, this feels different.
Yep.
Like, I could go home. And all I kept thinking was, what's it like in the Super Bowl? Because for the Chiefs, they don't have any of that anymore, right?
Yeah.
Like, they've been here so many times. It's just, it's old hat. Like, they know every little answer. I don't even think the adrenaline rush is the same, right? Like, so it just... it becomes more controllable.
And that's what I'm saying.
And the hangover is real, too.
Yeah.
If you lose it.
It is. That's what I'm saying. And for Philly, managing those emotions, they come into this game remembering what happened last time they played this team.
Yep.
But they come in, do they come in angry about that? Do they come in with a chip on their shoulder? Or do they come in and saying, we're us. It's another game. We're better than them. Let's just go show them. That's what may come up in this game, and we don't know if they'll do that, how they'll handle that, you know, because everything, something as simple as the promo. If you put up four pitchers for every team, or one pitcher for every team, I remember in the championship weekend, there was one pitcher for all four teams. You had Jaden Daniels, Patrick Mahomes. You had Josh Allen and Saquon Barkley. Not Jalen Hurts. How does Jalen Hurts feel that everything is Saquon, Saquon, Saquon? Do I got to go show that I'm the guy?
Right.
Do I have to force the ball to A.J. Brown? These things come up
This
game.
It's the human element.
And that's what people are not talking about. They're just talking about the football game. And there's so much more that goes into that. I know – for me, you talk about adrenaline, something that I used to do, which is why I love doing this, because I can take the fans inside our mindset. So I used to take a pre-workout. I take pre-workout and I lift, but I took pre-workout before the game, and I drank a five-hour energy.
Oh, yeah.
Right before I ran on the field. My heart would be pumping so fast. I would be breathing so hard. I figured out the first rep of the game, first two, three reps, I'm exhausted. I'm
right,
like,
right.
The game just started, and they not even doing no huddle. Why am I so tired? my adrenaline. Yeah. It's pumping, pumping, pumping. I figured out the remedy to that. If the defense was not getting introduced, I remember I got asked by a reporter, is there something going on while you don't run out with the team? I said, yeah, my adrenaline is pumping so fast. If I don't go get on the oxygen machine to calm myself down, that whole first two drives, I'll be exhausted. So I used to have to walk out early when the defense wasn't getting introduced, go sit on the bench and get on the oxygen machine just to calm my heart rate down before I went on the field. So when you talk about your heart rate and your adrenaline and controlling that, man, that there's something to that.
It's every position, though, too. Defensive lineman, obviously, you got to be physical. But watch Josh Allen in the conference championship game a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. First three throws, he's sailing it.
All over the place.
You could tell he is geeked up to go after it. And that's the thing. Like you said, he's trying to make a play. He almost throws two picks because he's trying to make a play. He's trying to be a hero. And that the game has to come to them. And, again, that's where the experience thing comes. Were you a smelling salt guy?
Yeah. I would. It got forced on me in college. Like in college, seriously. Our strength coach would have a cup full of them.
Class.
I'm like, hey, back up, little man. Like, Jesus, why are you strong arming me?
Bald head goatee.
Why are you strong arming me? Relax. But then now it's quick. All right, we good.
Make it sound like we go. Like somebody, I was on the sideline years ago, Mike Golick Jr., our friend, walks up, thinks it'd be really funny to just walk and be like, boom, and just gave me some smelling salts. Like, I for 20 minutes, I'm like, whoa, whoa.
For us, you know, you got to think, our bodies are all big. We can eat other people can't. So the little quick smelling salt to us is like, it's good.
It's a shot of espresso.
I think your comment about controlling adrenaline makes me think like Harry Douglas, good friend. He listened to classical music. He told me, he was like, I always had to listen to classical music before the game. And we have this concept in our head that players are out there ripping it, getting ready for the fight of their life.
No, it's sometimes opposite.
It's finding the right blend of I got to be up, but not too up because I got to make sure that, like.
Everyone pictures the any given Sunday scene where they're arguing about the music. So it's one guy's blasting rap, one guy's blasting Metallica and all that. Some guys are like that. Don't get me wrong. But it's like, shoot. But some guys, it's like, no. I got to keep the edge off. I didn't care, man.
I put my headphones on. I with Michael Jackson, you to death. I didn't care. I'm telling you, man.
People got some funny pregame songs.
Man, I didn't care about that, man. I had to listen to what I listened. I remember one day in college, DeMarco Murray, late running back, Dallas Cowboys, coaches at
Vegas
University
local.
Of Oklahoma.
Yep.
I was walking in, and he was listening to something, and he was like, let me hear what you listening to. I want to know what you listened to before the game. And he heard that Michael Jackson. He was like, this is how you get ready for the game? I said, hey, do you like the way I play?
Right.
He's like, let me do what I do.
That's my process. And talking about the edge thing, I keep not really one of my favorite movies, but it's an iconic movie, The Hoosiers, 10-foot, measuring the height of the thing. That's another thing, too. I had a rule, me and my dad did. It was like, we're not going to the Super Bowl unless one of us is in it. He's retired. I'm in media. All right, I can start doing this now. So I went to my first Super Bowl a couple of years ago. I'm at the thing, and I'm like, oh, it's another football game. And it's like that was me in the media thinking that. But really, once you get through the hoopla, and yes, the halftime show is like a college halftime show, and it's long. But it's like whistle starts. That's just another kickoff.
It's a regular football game.
And then the crowd, and you're like, oh, yeah, it's just another football game.
But there is one part of this game that is different, and I'm genuinely curious from y'all's standpoint because everybody that's dipping nachos and trying to figure out what's going on in the last 4 minutes of the game – if Mahomes has the ball down by a score, and I keep running this stat, but I'll run it again for everybody that hasn't watched one of my other shows. There's been 140 times in modern NFL history that a quarterback in the playoffs or Super Bowl has had the ball in their hands with under 4 minutes to go, needing a score to tie or win. 140. 40% of the time it's been converted. So Brady had it 11 times, 5 times he got the score. All right?
11 times.
Drew Brees, 6 times, 3 times he got the score. Mahomes has had the ball in his hands in this situation 7 times, and 7 times he got the score.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody sitting at home is going to think, I'm eating my nachos. Mahomes got the ball 4 minutes ago. They're going to win the game. What are you thinking on the other sideline? How are the Eagles not going to let that come into their minds? Like, there has to be some human element, right? Where you're, as an Eagle, you got to be sitting there saying, son of a biscuit, we just left them time, and he's got the ball.
Yeah. How many times you said?
7.
How many times has he done that without his head coach being Andy Reid?
None.
Tech.
Yeah. I mean,
that too.
It's the great equalizer.
It is.
That's what we have to take into account. You have the perfect the perfect painter, all right, or he orchestrates it. And Patrick Mahomes, he goes out there and he takes what Andy Reid put together, and he just operates it perfect. If you think about last year in the Super Bowl versus the 49ers, Patrick Mahomes wasn't making these like, whew, like when Eli made that throw to Manningham on the side, that's a throw. Yeah.
Or Stafford's no-looker.
Those are throws. Mahomes is just bing, bing, bing. It's like, man, what the heck?
He's like old Drew Brees now.
Yeah, it's like, man, what the heck is going on? Andy Reid is drawing this up to seal the game in the AFC Championship. Flow to the left, Patrick Mahomes flows to the right, somebody leaks out, just drop it off. Flow to the right, Patrick Mahomes flow to the left, Samaje Perine flow to the left with him, just drop it to him, game over. Andy Reid, the way he draws this up, and Patrick Mahomes has this ball, that is a duo that should scare any defense because it does not matter what you do. They know so well how to manipulate a defense. And I love being on the show with Kyle because he played with the GOAT, played with Tom Brady. And he said defensively what they knew and used to say to each other on defense, all we need to do is keep it close. As long as we got 12, eventually he'll figure it out. And that's what's scary as a defense going against the Kansas City Chiefs. However, this is what I want to see. At some point, that offensive line is going to have to block one-on-one. And we seen in 2017, Brandon Graham made one play. They had one sack all game, but it was the play.
Yep.
So as a defense, you say, it does not matter what's happened up to this point. It's right now. Somebody got to go make a play.
And that's what happened in the last Super Bowl between these two teams. The Eagles set the record, tie the record for most sacks and everything. A little slippery field. If you remember that in Arizona, a little slippery field. But the thing is with Mahomes is what is so special is, he has that – everyone kind of still considers him like a wild horse, like and everything. But you just described it's almost – it can be almost boring to watch him because he's so methodical. And I keep saying it's like he's old Philip Rivers now somehow on top of all the wild horse stuff he does. But he doesn't take sacks. And like, they've been figuring out the left side of their line this whole year. But when you don't take those negative plays and those drive killers, those are drive enders. And that's what Brady did was so special at too. Especially when once he got to Tampa, they were with Arians offense, they're all pushing the ball and he's not taking sacks. It's like, this is fake. No one else can do this. But that's what those guys do. They don't we kind of think of it just turnovers as those negative plays. But negative yard losses are explosive plays for the defense. And he just always avoids those. So and also too, don't really want to give him a shout out, but Harrison Butker doesn't miss game-ending field goals. I think he's 6-for-6 or 7-for-7 on game-ending field goals or game-tying or game-winning field goals.
You know how to win games, man.
So, hey, you're only as classic quarterback sayings, you're only as good as your kicker.
Yeah.
And when that guy's making them, then you can have those game-winning drives because you trust him.
Yeah, and that's what becomes – people talk a lot about Chiefs fatigue. To me, part of the reason Chiefs fatigue exists is because they win the types of games that – everybody else's favorite team loses.
Yeah.
Like, they take advantage. Can I change the title of that?
Yeah.
From Chiefs fatigue, greatness fatigue.
There you go.
We can't have greatness fatigue because if it was a Chiefs thing, it would be something we haven't seen before.
Right.
We've seen this with the Patriots.
Yep.
All right. We've seen it in the NBA when Golden State and Cleveland was going back every year. We seen the same two teams. And people are like, oh, man, I'm tired of seeing them. I'm so tired of them. Klay Thompson had two words for everybody. Beat us.
Right.
If you're tired of seeing the Chiefs, somebody has to beat them.
Exactly.
So you like.
That's how I get back to it.
Greatness fatigue we can't have. Right. Do you know how hard it is to stay? When you're at the highest level of what you do, when you're called a professional, you're at the highest level of whatever it is. I don't care if you're a painter, a plumber, football player, NBA. Just being a professional is extremely difficult.
Yep.
That's great, but to sustain that over a period of time is even harder.
Yep.
These are the greatest athletes, players of this game. And this team, with injuries, real life happening, coaching changes, drafts, all of these different things. Jane Daniels is showing up. Aaron Donald is walking through this place. You got all of these mutants walking around this league, and this one team continues to do it over and over and over, and that's a problem?
Right.
Why don't we appreciate that?
You know this. What does NFL stand for?
Not for long.
Yeah. Not for long. And that's because teams come, teams go.
That's coaches what I'm saying, come, man.
Coaches
I just
go.
I don't like that we don't appreciate it.
I don't.
It.
Yes, thank you.
You know, like we're starting to see, like, even in the NBA, we're making, like, oh, well, LeBron's getting selfish. He just wants to score. Hey, man, name the other 40-year-olds at his age that's doing what he's doing. Let's appreciate greatness while we see it.
I think we will later. Like, this has always
but
been
why has it got to be that?
You're right. Know, no, right? You're right. You're right. But my argument's always been, like, the very person right now that's telling me that LeBron sucks, and they're wrong, is the same person that's going to then tell their grandkids in 30 years, now this guy's not as good as LeBron was. So, like, in 20 years, everyone's going to, like, whatever the dynasty is then. Yeah. Let's be real.
It's Tom Brady right now. Everyone's like, oh, this was never like this with New England. I was like, that was like 6 years ago, guys. Like, we have to have a better memory than this. Bro. And also, everyone with the ref stuff, they think, oh, it's like they get the calls. They take advantage of when they get the calls. Like, you get the Lions got a cheap call in the divisional round. They didn't score. No one remembers the stupid call where it shouldn't have been a face mask because they didn't score and they didn't win the game. No one cares. But the Chiefs will get a call, and then they methodically go down, they score. They go on, they win the game. They take advantage of it because they're good. That's why I just keep coming
you
back
remember,
to
you remember when D4 lined up offsides?
Yep.
That didn't win the game.
Yeah.
Patriots still had to convert.
Exactly.
Then they had to go score. Taking advantage of your opportunities has nothing to do with the refs.
That's
it. You still got to play the play.
Yep.
Still got to play the game. And that's just execute. How I see it. Got to execute.
Like, let's remind everyone, I was a Raiders fan. The Tuck rule wasn't actually the moment that game ended. There was more football left to be played after that.
Exactly.
And the other part of it I'll continue to yell is that these calls happen all the time. Bad calls happen.
Yes.
Like, the fact is, people just aren't paying. Like,
Rams Saints.
Oh, yeah.
Pass interference.
And even this year, like, most people are probably not watching a Titans-Jags game. There's probably a blown call in that game. It doesn't mean somebody has some allegiance one way or the other. Just
it's rare that after that play, it's over.
Yeah.
The Rams-Saints game, people forget that game went into overtime, and the Saints got the ball first.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So why are we not talking? You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like,
you're making excuses.
We find ways to tear greatness down.
Yeah.
And I don't appreciate it. I don't like it. And I hate that it has to be after the fact. Give these people their flowers while they can smell them.
All right. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, how do you attack Spags and how do you stop Saquon? I got two guys that know the answer to that. We're going to try and figure it out. Welcome back. We're at the Toyota Land Cruiser set at Super Bowl 59. And look, I love y'all's knowledge. That's part of what I love about Football 301. That's part of what I love. I'll give you guys your flowers too. It's not always easy on a show that has two players. Like, if anyone hasn't checked out McCoy and Van Noy, sometimes players don't want to say nothing. Y'all, I'll give you guys a lot of credit. Like,
especially once in season.
In the middle of the season, I'm like, it is must watch on TV.
Seriously, and to your credit, man, Kyle Van Noy. I just want to shout out my guy for a second. We all watched that Buffalo and Ravens game.
Mm.
We seen how that game ended. That was a heartbreaker.
Mm-hmm.
That dude was one of the first in our group message about when are we filming. We didn't have to wonder if Kyle's going to film, if we need to push the show back, if he's going. And he came on the show. And he did exactly what he's done every week, win, lose, or draw. And he did his job.
Yep.
So I just want to shout him out because it's not easy.
It's
doing
not.
That after a heartbreaker it's like not. That where a lot of people were saying, if anybody can knock off the Chiefs, it's your team. And then you lose? That sucks. So, man, shout out my guy Kyle for doing it.
I always love his story when he joined New England. He did the dead-on impression. He said, Belichick, spin the whistle.
Mm-hmm.
Spin the whistle. And he just goes, I always get my guys. And there's reason, but you said, do your job.
Yeah.
Do your job.
Do
your job.
Do your job
well. And that's why Belichick wanted him. So, I'm glad he's part of one of my teammates.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you guys to do your job now and educate me and educate all of us, okay? Because there are certain narratives I hate. Like, I hate people saying, you know what? Spags just isn't going to let Saquon run on him. Okay, that's like me rolling the ball out against LeBron and saying, I ain't letting LeBron dunk on me. Like, it's more than that. So let's start on that side of it. You're Spags, you got to shut down Saquon. What's the game plan?
My answer is going to be real wordy and real nerdy. So
No, I'm all for it.
I got two. Like,
I'm all
look,
for it.
I thought I was a nerd. I got like this is.
I've been speaking a foreign language so far, so now you're going back to what I'm used to. So this is great.
Okay. So Joe Cullen.
Yeah.
who was my defensive line coach for a couple of years in Tampa, my favorite coach of all time, Joe Cullen. Talked to him this week. I was supposed to go over to the hotel and, you know, try to get a little insight to the game, but whatever. I didn't do it. I should have did my job. Kyle, I need to follow in your footsteps to do my job better. But anyway, I know what he's telling that defensive line. They believe this one guy can beat us. That one person can beat our entire defense. I texted him and asked him, is that what he said? He said, absolutely. He's telling them it's impungent on this defensive line to stop what they want to do with Saquon. How do you do it? Discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Physicality. They keep talking about this offensive line, offensive line, offensive line. Offensive linemen are bullies. They are. They're bullies. And what's the moniker with bullies? They don't like what?
Getting punched in the face.
They don't like getting punched in the face. Well, defensive linemen, we're the counter to the bullies. But you have to be disciplined when mm-hmm. this is happening. Gap sound. This is not about you. Is Chris Jones or George Karlaftis name going to be on the three-peat, or is it going to be the Kansas City Chiefs? It's going to be the Kansas mm-hmm. City Chiefs. Mm-hmm. This is sacrifice what you want for the greater good. Don't give up what you want right now for what you really want, which is a championship. I want to go make a play right now. So I'm going to jump into the A gap.
Right. I better
But my assignment is the B gap.
Yep.
Not against a guy who can go lateral or vertical in an instant.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that with Saquon. Go look at all of most of his runs. It's rare that he didn't find the seam, stop, go here, because somebody got out their gap.
Right.
That first run versus the Commanders,
yeah.
he got out. That was all Saquon. Make this dude miss, yeah. boom, boom, boom. That's Saquon open field. But in that box, you have to stay in your gap and be patient.
Mm-hmm.
Stay where you're supposed to be. Do not get out your gap, because this guy is going to see it. That's what makes him so great. And if you're going to do that, once we do that, you guys on the back end, mm-hmm. now you come feel. But it's very difficult to do that for four quarters. And Saquon, second half of games,
yeah,
that's where he takes over.
So stick here for a second. Sorry, Nate.
No, you're good.
You just said it's very difficult to do that for four quarters.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
It's all up here. It's your mental. It's very difficult to have mental fortitude to do the same thing over and over.
30 times.
And over. Yep. And over. You can't get tired with the details, man. And that's what made that's what made the Patriots so great. How they played the game in the first quarter, they played the last snap in the fourth quarter. They wasn't like, oh, I'm tired of taking on this double team and sitting in this B gap. I don't care if I got to do it 70 times. If at the end we hold up that silver thing with the football on top of it, I'm going to do it. But that's what a lot of people don't do. They get tired of the details.
Yeah.
They get tired of the technique. And it's like, oh, man, I'm tired of sitting this B-gap, taking on this double. I'm going to jump out my gap,
right.
And boom, that's where Saquon go for 60.
This is in the NBA, you hear a lot of players, because they've always been the best guys ever, like since they're 9 years old. They get to the NBA and they're playing defense on the guys. I'm like, man, I'm doing this and the guy's still getting buckets. And all of them have that realization, like, they're going to get his. Like, he's going to get his. Like, he's going to get that score. The best scorers are going to score sometimes. And that's, I think, what they have to deal with against this Eagles team. It's like, he's going to get 5 yards. It's going to happen. He's going to get 4. He's going to get 6 sometimes. Don't let it be 60. Don't let it be 16.
And the big plays.
And that's what's been really cool about this Chiefs team this year is, like, they haven't let up a lot of explosives. They tackle really well. Even though they're wonky and crazy and they shoot gaps or blitzing corners, they're sound with it. There's a method to the madness. And I think that's just what's a really cool styles make fights thing. It's a hammer of an offense coming at you against a defense that wants to be funky, but you still got to be disciplined with the funkiness.
And to your point, I was listening to Kevin Durant, my favorite basketball player. He was doing an interview with Tony Allen. Tony Allen, one of the best defenders of his generation. And Kevin Durant said he was going through hell dealing with Tony Allen. You know what Tony Allen said he was thinking in the back of his mind? I don't care what I do, this dude is getting 30. Right. I just got to make it tough on him.
Yep.
So Kevin Durant this whole time is thinking Tony Allen is like this great defender. But in the back of Tony Allen, man, he's thinking, I don't care what I do. He's going to get 30 points. But I just got to make it tough on him. I can't let it be easy, because then that's where he starts to gain momentum.
So then we play this to the next level. Everybody up front does their job. The guys behind them do their job. Mm-hmm. What opportunities then does this create, or really for Jalen Hurts that he's going to have to take advantage of? Like, as in my mind, if we're putting all of this towards shutting down Saquon, there are still two of the better wide receivers in the NFL out there running routes. Like, there's got to be something to that.
Yeah, they want to stay out of man coverage on that. I mean, Trent McDuffie's done a great job on the outside this year, moving out from the slot. But it's the other corner. And that's why Jalen Watson or Johnson, Nazee Johnson. So it's one of those two is going to be on the outside there. I think, like, if it's man or if it's quarters where it truly turns into man on the outside, that's where they get those opportunities. So it's like whoever's not – McDuffie's not guarding. But it's like you can get – Spags creates a gash or B-gash world. He's going to blitz. They're going to do the stuff. If you block it up, you can hit him over the top in theory. Easier said than done. Look what happened to the Bills on fourth down. It's like all of a sudden he breaks your rules. If you talk about being sound on defense too, that's what's so cool about Spags' defense is they test your rules on offense and go like, if you're not sound with your protection, if you get lazy and you keep sliding the same way, you keep doing the same protection, all of a sudden, boom, pokes. There's the sack. There's the pressure. There's the turnover and everything. Usually it's a gash or B gash world, but again, this Chiefs defense tackles so well and they're so smart on the back end.
Tackling.
It's the top two.
Underrated.
Teams. They have the lowest missed tackle rates, both
underrated
teams.
Tackling. Yep. But you said something about Spags and how he plays defense and his blitzes. Timing.
Yeah.
Football and blitzing is about timing. Everything's about timing. Yep. Pass rush is timing and precision. If we run stunts, it's about how you set it up. Mm-hmm. The timing of me waiting to get him to look, the pick, and then him getting upfield. With Spags, it's not just about the timing of how the blitzes ran. It's the time when he runs the blitzes. Yep. He saves his most exotic blitzes for when it matters. The thing you haven't seen, the one you don't expect – when he needs to call something, he has it.
Yep.
And that's why I talk about experience. He's been here before, and he knows when to use it. When you young and he ain't been here, and you're trying to figure it out, throw your best stuff in the first, second quarter. Spags like,
okay, that's fine.
Let's slow roast this thing. And what do we see at the end of the AFC Championship?
Yep.
He saved that exotic corner. Who does that?
I know.
Who?
On fourth down.
Who does that? Spags does. Yep.
What could Josh Allen, because I think this plays into the Super Bowl.
Yep.
What could Josh Allen have done at the line of scrimmage before that play was run to figure out what was coming at him?
So they went on a five-man protection on it, and that's again, nothing. Spags. Yeah, so
nothing.
Like, so the advanced answer, okay, the one-on-one answer is throw hot. Spags wants you to throw hot.
Yes.
Okay, so number two, fix the protection. They could have slid it right, but the thing is, usually you just do a four-man slide there.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you're leaving a one-on-one Chris Jones on one side, and you still would have been hot because they were bringing two weak side.
Yes.
So a corner was still hot. So like the perfect 501 advanced level, slide five guys to the right. You're not going to do that on fourth and five with your season on the line. Yeah, it's a scouted look in the first quarter, and we know that they do that. Yeah, not the last play of the game because you're like, what if I'm wrong? If he went ram. I actually know their calls because I know the line coach. Ram. Just slide five right there. All right, if I'm wrong, we got two unblocked guys coming off the left side.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're screwed either way. And it's away from where the hots are thrown. So that's the thing. They had to work left. They've shown that look. It's just getting – it's not only just the advance answer. It's the advanced answer, the PhD-level answer. Josh Allen – what's crazy, too, is Josh Allen has done it. It's an underrated part of his game is adjusting protections. And then even there, he was like, no. This is what we need to do. We're going to just go standard here, and I'll make a play. That's what Spags does. He goes, no. I'm going to make you do the PhD answer.
Not only is it an advanced, it's a hindsight answer.
Yeah, right.
That's why I said nothing.
With the play cock, 20,
He's seen the play and the result, and he's diagnosed it and broken down the film. And, he could have did this. He could have did that. That's why I said nothing. Spags didn't show what he was going to do.
Yep.
So there's nothing he could have done to expect that to happen because it's not something you've scouted. That's what Spags does to people. He, like you said, if he would have guessed and went here and then this could have happened, there's nothing he could have done to stop that because we all was like, he sent a corner blitz. Like, don't do that.
That was my reaction after it happened. People were like, oh, what should he have done? And I was like, yeah, I broke it down. I was just like, well, I'm saying, yeah, that's the answer. It's like, the process to get there, it's like that's a leap of faith. It's
kicking the onside to start the second half with Sean Payton.
Right.
You don't scout something like that. It's just like what we didn't expect them to come out and kick the start the second half while the game
it's
is
a wild
still,
card.
It happens, and that's what he did. So it's really nothing that Josh Allen could have done or even known.
It's
that
theory.
Spags would do something like that.
Yeah.
Which is why all of this gets so complicated when we try and pick the game, because so often, you know, the easy answer is, well, the Chiefs are going to win because Mahomes doesn't lose close games, and I don't know how you blow out the Chiefs. There's more to that than this. Like, Spags at this point has cemented himself as one of the greatest defensive coordinators in NFL history. I think that's a fair point to make.
Yes.
They also have Andy Reid, who has cemented himself as one of the best head coaches in NFL history, and he gets a bye week. Like, what is it about Andy Reid and a bye week that makes – because y'all talked when we started the show about you don't want to overcoach, you don't want to overload, you don't want to give too much. Andy Reid finds a way. Every time he has an extra week to prep, he just beats the snot out of you.
Yeah, we talk about the last Super Bowl when they played the Eagles. The two touchdowns, one to the right, one to the left. They said that –
this is my same talking point. I can't believe you're going with this.
Yeah.
They took it from the Jags game.
They said that he took that from something that happened in, like, week three or something like that.
It was against the Jags, against the Eagles. Yeah, because Doug Peterson has the same offense, yada, yada. Yep.
They said he took something that happened in, like, week three.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you give Andy Reid time. It's like, Andy Reid, I got to do it. It's like Batman. You give him prep time, he's most likely going to win. This is where if Batman can prep for you, you give him too much time to see all that you can do. He going to research you.
Detective.
He is the world's greatest freaking detective. That's what we're going to start calling. Forget Bundaruski. We need to get a world's greatest detective.
I love that.
Commercial for Andy Reid, especially if they win.
I just want to see Andy Reid in a Batman suit. Now.
Yeah,
that's
give
all
him too much time to diagnose Batman. Everything you done did. He done went back to, I'm telling you, with Joe Cullen, we used to have this thing called the KGB. What it was is you research so much, you get TV copies, and you listen to the sounds of the checks and the signals, and we would play it in the meeting room where, like, if you hear this, they're checking to this. If you do this, they check. And that's during the week.
Yep.
That's like 3-4 days to prep. They've had 2 weeks. So he didn't went back to the Dallas Cowboys stuff and all that. Like, that's what Andy Reid does. That's the prep that he puts in, and that's what makes him Andy Reid. So you talk about overcoaching, he's Andy Reid. He does it different.
That's like in a game like week 12, when you're breaking down the stuff, it's like the last 4 weeks or like prior times you play that team. So like Andy Reid, though, or once you get to the playoffs, especially with the bye week, that's what Gerald's getting at is that, I'm looking at weeks 1 through 18. I'm looking at all – okay, now instead of 12 red zone plays, when we're watching that cut up, I got the whole season of red zone plays I'm looking at, or all the third down plays. So those cut ups that they look at, what they're studying, they just have more data to sift through. And that's why, he has so much to draw from. I mean, that's the experience that he gets. And two, it's like, it's going against a defensive coordinator, Vic Fangio. They play each other a bunch of times. Mahomes is 7-0, I believe, against Vic Fangio defenses. But that's, again, it's like, all right, now I'm going back to 2023 week 7 film against the Dolphins. All right, that's when we play. All right, when Fangio was with the Broncos, we're going to add that to the data reel like that. And when Andy Reid's calling the same offense with the same terminology since he was with Philly, since he was with Green Bay as an assistant, yada, yada, it's really easy for him to go like, oh, yeah, I remember when Vic did that to me in 2012 and I did this. And you know, draw back from that play.
Yeah.
The best coaches do that. The best ones I've ever been around, I mean, guys I've been in meetings with, North Turner, Sean Payton, Paul Chris, they're drawing up plays and I'm like, Is this VHS? Yeah. We're watching this on. It's like grainy film, but they're like, this is the example we want to show you guys.
Yeah.
He's a Rolodex. Like, encyclopedia, I should say.
And I never got a chance to play for a coach that was at that magnitude of winning. But Greg Schiano, who coached at Rutgers, came, he was our head coach. And speaking of Rutgers, there go one of the McCourties. Anyway, he played for Greg Schiano, by the way. But Greg Schiano came to Tampa as our head coach. He did the exact same thing. He was showing us stuff from here that did this. And I'm like, man, where the heck did this come from? You know who he learned under?
Yeah.
Bill Belichick.
Yeah, I knew.
Another coach who did exactly that.
Yep.
He just didn't have the success as Bill Belichick. But the greatest coaches, this is what they do.
Yep.
And this is why you can't give them time. This is why they need to say, hey, if you won, The AFC, AFC Championship, we playing next week. Mm. I'm not giving these dudes time to prep for me. No, switch the game because now, you know what I'm saying?
People think all that coaching is rah, 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 you know, because that's what they had in high school. And so much of NFL coaching is like, no, getting these guys prepped. Mm-hmm. Like, it's research and all that and getting scripts writing right, going like, hey, make sure we get this twist practice. Mm-hmm. Hey, make sure we get this game practice. Make sure we get this blitz practice against this look, just in case, you know, or that's the one we expect. And that's what the good coaches do. They're prepared for everything without overloading. Because then you get some coaches that, oh, yeah, I can tell you prepared, but you just told me 40 different things and you didn't like teach any of those.
And you did all of that, right? All of that we just said, all of that prep, everything we just put in. And my wife is still calling me. My cousins is calling me. I have to take all of that and lock and hone in and go execute it. And that's the part, like you said, we don't talk about the mental fortitude to be able to take everything we just did and go execute.
So the question is, for all of this, how do you attack Andy Reid? We'll break that down. First, we're going to take a quick break. Welcome back to the Toyota Land Cruiser set at Super Bowl 59. A lot of coaching conversation. Mm-hmm. We've given Andy Reid all the flowers. Like, he gets all the flowers that he can buy. He's got more flowers than nuggets at this point. So we've given them all to him. So now the question becomes, we know that there's an offensive line weakness for the Chiefs. I think that's a fair way to say that. Mm-hmm. And we happen to know that there's a game record on the defensive line. How do you attack?
Vulnerability.
Okay, there's a vulnerability.
I get a little sensitive as a football player. You say weakness. It's a vulnerability. They're vulnerable at O-line, even though I despise O-linemen.
No, that's fair. And there's a vulnerability and a very large, powerful man on the other side looking to take advantage of some level of that vulnerability. How
multiple.
Do you, that's fair.
And one that's about to get paid a lot of money.
So how do the Eagles attack Andy Reid? That's simple.
Oh. Attacking him is not simple, but here is what it's going to come down to. Force Andy Reid to get in his bag way sooner than he wants to.
Right.
Don't let Andy Reid get comfortable in his game plan. Make him have to think. Force Andy Reid to have to figure you out. Mm. And hopefully you can get the game over with before he does. Because once he does, that's where Andy Reid becomes Andy Reid. But in doing so, force this O-line to have to block you one-on-one. Like, don't let them manipulate what your defense does with screens and then letting Xavier Worthy do speed options and just getting all creative with the flows of the different offense and then pitching it underneath and don't not forget all that.
It's so funny how I talk about that stuff and the defensive guy is like, it's so annoying. Yeah, there's all this movement.
Yeah, forget all that, man. Warren Sapp told me, trust your eyes and your hands and feet to follow. Mm. Simple. Mm-hmm. Keep it simple, man. You are better up front. You're more physical. You're faster. You're more talented. D-line versus their O-line. Those are the facts. Be that.
Yeah.
Don't overthink the fact that this is Travis Kelce over here and that dude's the fastest dude to ever run a 40 at the combine and he's the greatest player of our generation and the guy calling the play. Man, forget all that. You and me. You have to see me. If you go left, I'm running through you. If you go right, I'm running through you. If you give me your hands, I'm take play football.
Yeah.
Play foot because they're going to come out with some BS is what I call it because I'm on defense. They going to come out with some BS, but you got to trust your eyes. Don't take the bait, man. Do not put your hands in the cookie jar. Don't do it because as soon as you do that, it's going to be a rat trap inside.
Yep.
Don't do it. You got to stay disciplined. And do your job. Understand your defense was blessed with something you can't coach, and that is speed. Jaden Daniels could not outrun people last week. Mm. He found out real quick Nolan Smith might really run a 4-4.
Right.
He tried to outrun him, and he ran him down. You don't understand how fast people are until you're out there with them. I remember playing Lamar Jackson his rookie year. I made a move on Marshall Yonder, of all people, who's about to be a Hall of Famer. I beat him, came off the block, seen Lamar Jackson. Then I didn't see Lamar Jackson. Then I looked up, and there goes Lamar Jackson. I was like, well, freaking, hey, man, this dude is fast.
You saw number 8, and then you saw Jackson number 8.
Yeah, it was like 20 yards downfield. And he wasn't even running in a straight line. He was doing this the whole time. I'm like, how are you outrunning people, and you moving side to side? You don't understand speed until you're around it, man. Right. And that's what the Eagles have. They have it at every level. Force them to have to draw it up, because what the Philadelphia Eagles have that a lot of people don't have, they have DBs where we can say, you, go against you, him, and him. And the Eagles have the advantage. They can go one-on-one with the DBs they have at every level, the corners, the slot, and the safeties. Like, this defense is really, really good. Mm-hmm. And if they can force the Chiefs and Andy Reid to get in his bag earlier than he wants to, they might be in trouble.
He was even talking about the Chiefs defense, Jarrell was, about, like, hey, being disciplined and everything. And that's what a Fangio defense is. It's like, as a quarterback, it's really frustrating. It's like, all right, here comes cover three again. It's another over front. And they just snuffed us out for another 2 yard gain. You know what you're getting because they're disciplined. And you talk about the opening script BS, because Andy Reid's legendary for a reason. Like, and some teams, some coaches use those opening scripts to test rules. All right, how are you playing against four strong?
Your first 15.
Yep. How are you playing against the jet motion here? How are you playing against certain formations? How are you playing against this? How are you playing against this run? You want them to be wasted plays. Mm-hmm. You don't want those test plays to work. If that's the worst of both worlds. If you are snuffing out those opening script plays, the test plays, okay, now they're not getting an advantage look-wise, and now they're not getting an advantage on those plays that they've been working on for 2 weeks. So really, that first quarter, that's what I'm looking at, is like, how did each – what is Reed showing? But then how the Eagles defense snuffed that out. And I mean, Vic Fangio, it's like, he knows his stuff too. We talk about Andy Reid, talk about Spagnuolo. He's been around a long time too. So he's going to have some answers or something interesting, I think, too, knowing that that opening script's going to be a whirlwind that first 15.
Yeah, for sure.
Mahomes going to have to get rid of the ball quick. I mean, is that like, we're going to have to, what are they going to have to do offensively to just keep him upright in this?
Move the pocket.
They're going to have to move the pocket. The run game has to be
efficient,
but the run game can't just be so direct.
Yeah.
The run game comes in a matter of different looks. It's not just hand the ball off. Right. Run game can be a screen.
Yep.
Run game can be a check down. Some people, like, I remember Aaron Rodgers, when we were game planning, he used to use screens as his run game. Mm-hmm. When they couldn't just hand the ball off, turn around, hand the ball off, we would throw a screen. We would throw a quick check down. Because the goal for a run is to split the difference. You get 3+ yards on a run, success. We're good to go. If you can do that on a short pass, it's the same thing. So getting the ball out, but there's a key to it. Kurt Warner, he put out a tweet of people seeing Patrick Mahomes get the ball out fast, and they think he's getting the ball out fast, man. He can do that. He said it's more to it than just that. You do that before the play, diagnosing the defense, knowing where this guy might be, and if he shifts here, okay, I'm going here. The first read is not just because the defense showed what they showed. The first read is, if that defense starts to move, okay, my first read might be over here now. Then it comes back here. But getting the ball out fast is going to be necessary, because just sitting back there trying to hold up against this D-line, it's a vulnerability.
vulnerability.
That they can exploit for sure.
When you were just saying extension of the run game stuff too. I mean, remember Roger and all the smokes, all the little smoke screens. Mahomes throws it behind the line of scrimmage more than anyone, and everyone thinks those are just dropback plays. No, they're run plays with bubbles and flats, package in. He's reading the box count, reading one guy, how he flows inside or out. And that's the thing with a really talented defensive line, a big defensive line. Mm-hmm. All right, now I'm getting them going side to side. Now they just can't get upfield and tee off. It's like, okay. All right, now the ball's out all the way over there. Okay, and now I have to run to the side because I have to, you know, we did pursuit drills and cam, and Coach Fangio's going to get on me. So, like, that's exactly how you wear a team out. And everyone, you know, run game is body blows. Those are body blows too, because now everyone has to be disciplined on the outside. And the Eagles are. Like, they're a really good tackling team, but now you're testing them over and over and over.
How do you stay disciplined with Mahomes then, who we all know is not necessarily during the season, regular season, he's not a running quarterback? During the playoffs, he's going to make 5 plays. And there are going to be 5 times during the course of the game where he's just going to run around and he's going to make the defender choose. Are you stepping up or are you staying where you are? If you stay where you are, I'm going to take the 6 yards that are in front of me. If you're stepping up, I'm just going to somehow magically dink the ball to the guy that's standing right behind you. And it's like, so how do you maintain that discipline against Mahomes?
It's discipline. I mean, it really is. It's pass rush discipline.
Yeah,
don't take the bait. oh, I beat my guy here. I go. Mm-hmm. And then he steps up and out.
Yeah.
I mean, last year they had Donovan Smith at left tackle. And Donovan was probably not, wasn't his best
vulnerability.
Year.
It was a vulnerability with a big V.
I kept going back to that. There's a reason he was available. That's how I kept saying it. But what happened was Mahomes started realizing, oh, he's getting beat off speed rushes. So he just would step up and out of the pocket. So he's breaking contain anyways. Because guys, so many edge rushers, like, I'm about to get my sack. I'm about to get this right now. And, like, Mahomes worked off that vulnerability to make it into something that he got used to. So that's really, it's just discipline. I mean, really, that's the only thing you can do. Sometimes don't take the bait, what he's showing, that, oh, my God, I got the loop here. But that's really what it comes down to.
What's the right play? Sorry to interrupt you. But, like, what's the right play?
Yeah,
what are you supposed to do?
I got you, and I'm going to break it down. D-line 101, all right?
Give it to me.
I love being in this business after being in that business because you create these relationships. You get to know these people who play against the people who play now. Max Crosby, one of my closest friends in the world, he plays against Patrick Mahomes. So if you had asked me, gee, what's the key to stopping Cam Newton? I got you. Played against him.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes is a mold of a certain style of quarterback, but he is one of one.
Yep.
So you got to ask somebody who knows how to stop this particular guy. And Max Crosby said, rush smart, but not scared. Mm. And all that is rush lane discipline. Mm-hmm. But we, as defensive linemen, have plays. A lot of people don't know. We have schemes up front where you can rush guys into traps. You can put them into traps. With our basic rush discipline, you need a guy to balance the rush, which is be in the middle of the rush. You need a guy with a two-way go, which is usually a three technique. That would be your Jalen Carter. Mm-hmm. You need your Nolan Smith and your Josh Sweat on the ends. You cannot run behind the quarterback.
Right.
That gives him a step-up lane. Once you get to the level, you either spin back or go to power. Collapse the pocket. Put him in a well. Make him throw from that spot. If you do want to let him run, allow him to run, but it is a setup. And what we do is we set a trap, all right? The defensive end to his face where he can see, you come underneath, all right? Because what is he going to believe? Oh, he came underneath? Yep. I can escape outside.
And here comes the looper.
You take Nolan Smith on the other end where he can't see, just go. Go, and he runs him down.
Yep.
That's why you go out and get
a guy
of that size that can run a 4-4. And just like you said, they ran that versus the Commanders, and he ran down Jaden Daniels. It's a trap play.
Yep.
And you can set those different traps. But for the most part, rush discipline. Because, again, nobody's going to remember who got this sack.
Right.
But they are going to remember who won the game.
Yep.
Make it about the team. Four is one. You got to be disciplined, man, because if you allow him to be able to create and extend plays, you're going to be in trouble because that's where you make magic happen.
And the Eagles don't really do this, but odd mirror, three-man front, two kind of spies on each side. So Chiefs actually do it, ironically.
Yeah.
But that the Bills started using that, and other teams have started sprinkling it in the NFL because you're doing what you're just saying. Guys, DNs usually, not both of them, have the two-way goes. It gives them two-way goes, but you're creating a fool's gold. Escape lane for the quarterback.
Absolutely.
And some guys that take the bait all the time, and then Mahomes will take that bait. If you remember, the Chiefs lost to the Bills regular season game. They got an end game pick, and it was on an odd mirror rush. Matt Milano runs him down, gets him pressured. But Mahomes is like, oh, dummy DN just broke inside. Yeah. I got this. And then here comes Milano flying him down. And there's versions, like, the Eagles haven't really shown that, but they'll do, like you said, the looper. You know, two guys slant inside the game, and the guy loops in.
Yep.
As a quarterback, I see that rush coming inside. All right, and then there's the looper. There's someone fast. Mm-hmm. There's Jalen Carter.
Yeah.
I mean, shoot, against the Rams, the Eagles shut the game down because they were doing twist, and then they did a fake twist.
Yeah.
Which was like, to me, it was like not many 300 – well, you actually, I'm talking to one right now. Mm-hmm. Not many 310, 20-pound guys can do a fake twist on that.
And you know why that worked? Is because of what Nolan Smith was doing.
Right.
It made the offensive line change their protection to where the guard, who was supposed to help with Jalen Carter in the A-gap, he was so worried about Nolan Smith timing.
His eyes.
He's supposed to stop and slow play it.
Yeah.
But Nolan Smith was killing Havenstein on the edge. He said, forget that. Yep. I need to go help. He took off running. Jalen Carter said, "Ah, there's the opening. I'm going."
You see that it was. I mean, yeah. Literally as you described, it you see the eyes go like this because they're waiting for the looper, and then all of a sudden, Jalen Carter's like, "Whoop!" Just goes right in there. But
it's all a setup. It's all a setup. Now, Patrick Mahomes knows this.
Yeah, exactly. It's like
all of these things I'm telling you was taught to me by Joe Cullen. Joe Cullen is the defensive line coach for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yes.
He's telling him this is what they're going to try to do to you. And now that info is going to Andy, which is going down to Patrick.
Ugh. They can marinate on it.
Stew
on it a little bit.
Darn.
Those good ones, man, they sure are good.
Man, right.
It's amazing how that works out.
I know. It's frustrating.
The amazing thing is this is, you know, what we try to do here is bring some nuance to this. And it's one of the beautiful things. As you see the graphics behind us, Football 301, obviously McCoy Van Noy, and Inside Coverage. Those are three of our flagship programs here at Yahoo Sports, and it was really cool to get to do this. Each of these shows has a different flavor. I hope you'll give the chance to check each of them out. 301, obviously, as you can tell, Nate's giving you so many breakdowns. Obviously, Gerald is part of a show that's giving you a player's perspective and Inside Coverage. We're really proud of the insiders that we have and the conversations that we have on that show, too. Proud of what we're doing at Yahoo. Hope you'll check it out wherever you get your podcasts. Obviously, Yahoo Sports on YouTube, everywhere. You know how to do it. You know how to rate, review, subscribe. All that makes a difference. Most importantly, boys, this was a blast. I love these conversations.
It was fun.
That's great.
Appreciate you guys listening. Follow us on social media. Check the shows out. Enjoy the Super Bowl. I know we will. And hopefully this show made you a little smarter on what you're actually going to see.